The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Would you want your team to sign Case Keenum to a five-year deal this offseason? And if the answer is yes, I feel like you don't really watch these games. How many throws yesterday did it look like he threw off his back foot and probably should have been intercepted? It just worked out magically.
He's developed into a hell of a lot better player than I thought he could.
Is that enough?
Well, if I'm the Vikings, he seems to be a pretty good fit.
What about when Pat Shurmur is head coach of the New York Giants?
Yeah.
Then is he a good fit?
That'll be interesting to see.
Indianapolis, they ran this division for years. 2 years without their franchise quarterback, coach is fired. Tennessee wins a playoff game. Nah, see ya, Mike. Jacksonville fired a coach and found the right one and now find themselves in an AFC championship game. The Texans, who had the worst season, they somehow believe that they're on the right path with this guy.
I think the message we're getting is Rick Smith was the problem. O'Brien, now he's got all the power he wants. He's got the GM he wanted, the one that got chased off last year. Now that you're telling me that, you better perform.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Jong Snow, with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first 2 hours? That's some of what was discussed.
Super sportsy, right?
Yeah, a lot of football for obvious reasons.
I guess we've still got more football to talk, and we got a call on the line that I wanted to take because I want to get to that topic that he apparently wants to get to. We got to talk about Aziz Ansari. Did you read about this, John?
Yeah, I read about it today.
Have you read about it, Fred?
I have not.
Okay. This is the there are, and maybe I'm finding myself being afraid as a man to defend any of these guys who are accused of this stuff. And there have been ones where I'm like, really? That guy gets put in the same pile as
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein or Bill Cosby? Because you don't want to seem like you're not supportive of women standing up against whatever kind of assault it is.
Right.
The story that's been told about Aziz Ansari is not sexual assault. And if it is, men are in trouble. Big trouble. Every man is in trouble because it's getting crazy. So I want to talk about that, but maybe we'll do that at 6:15. I'll tell you the story of it, Fred, and you tell me if this is sexual assault and if this dude's career should be ruined because of it, because I'm a big believer that no, there's no way this falls into that category.
All right.
That's a radio tease.
That's a radio tease. You agree with me, though, John?
We'll talk about it in 10 minutes.
All right. Let's talk to Zach. How's it going, Zach?
Sports guy.
Sports to you, man.
Hey, wanted to call in about Tomlin, Mike Tomlin. I think he's probably the most overrated coach in the NFL. I think he does less with more than any other coach in the NFL. And I wanted to see if you guys would be willing to go down the list and tell me how many coaches you would take in front of Tomlin, because I came up with six.
That's all you came up with? There's way more than six for me. I'm with you that Mike Tomlin is the most overrated head coach in football. I don't get it. This guy consistently bungles clocks. He situational football. He's the worst. He is the worst. And there were so many mistakes in yesterday's game. And to be fair, part of it was they got not just outcoached in the first half, they got thoroughly outplayed in the first half, which that shouldn't have happened because they're more talented than they looked like in the first half of that game. But in the second half of that game, any chance that the talent could have gotten them back into it was sucked out. The life was sucked out of it by poor coaching decisions. And whether it be the onside kick, the failed fourth down attempts, using a timeout with 2:18, like at the 2 minute warning, using one of your timeouts that were just precious timeouts. And then when you go down and you complete that pass to Martavis Bryant, the 43 yard pass, you got it. You're to the 5 yard line. All right. You take a shot at the end zone and it's intentional grounding. Okay. Kick the field goal. Then try an onside kick and get the ball back. Don't start chucking it for the end zone. Of course, they score. But by the time they score and they had the clock running, they caught the ball inbounds because now they'd wasted those timeouts. The clock's still running. So when they finally do score, there's no time left. You at least got to give yourself a puncher's chance. And I don't know how many coaches I would take over Mike Tomlin. I can tell you my list is probably considerably longer than most because I feel like every year I sit here and talk about some bonehead decision with the clock or with late game management where Mike Tomlin cost his team a chance to win.
NFL.com did a power ranking before the season. Mike Tomlin is number 4. Belichick, Carroll, McCarthy, and then Tomlin.
Oh my God. You're telling me you take Mike Tomlin before Sean Payton? Get out of here.
Mike Tomlin over Andy Reid?
No.
John Harbaugh?
No.
How about Sean McVay?
No.
Not enough sample size.
I'll take Sean McVay's upside even.
Mike Zimmer?
I don't know about that one.
Dan Quinn?
I don't know about that one either. But Mike Tomlin, because Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl. And that's what...
I know that affects a lot of your opinion of him, and those are all valid points. But 11 seasons, .659 winning percentage, not just a Super Bowl, but 2 trips to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Never had a losing record. And in the last 4 years, the fewest amount of games they've won is 10 in a season. I mean, that's consistency.
How many teams have as much talent as that team does?
Well, certainly the Patriots do.
Do they? I mean, aside from Brady? I don't know. Like on offense and defense?
Yeah.
You've got a team that's got the best running back in the league and probably the best receiver in the league.
No, to me, offensively, they have the most talent in the league.
I mean, no one's got that. That Roethlisberger-Bell-Brown combo is just absurd. And they keep adding – their front office, I think, is as good as any. I just don't believe in Mike Tomlin as a head coach. And when he first was coming up, and maybe about the time they won that Super Bowl, I was like, man, this guy can coach. This guy's got it. And the more I've seen of him, the less enamored I am. It's just so many of these late-game decisions. It's very strange.
That's the same thing that I bang on Bill O'Brien for.
Yep.
You know, there's so many decisions that he makes that – and it's not just that they don't work out. It's at the time you see him and you say, don't do this, don't do this. And I wasn't crazy about them going for that fourth down, but okay, run the ball up the gut with Le'Veon Bell. Or, by the way, quarterback sneak with your 6'5" quarterback.
Right.
There's so many things you could have done. Running wide. Yeah, and those things impact the game because they flip possessions. And it turned out every possession – with the way it came down to it, you needed every single possession to have a chance to win that football game. But, I mean, overall, though, you look at the record, and he does get his teams in those spots more often than not. And it just – I think that a lot of what happened yesterday did come down to coaching. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And I guess that's about wrapping up all the football stuff. I think we got to everything.
I think we did cover everything pretty well. And you know what? We got 4 more days this week if we didn't. So,
well, maybe tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we'll see. The freeze.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
if we're alive tomorrow.
Yeah, I was not supposed to be here tomorrow, but if I have to, if our replacement can't make it, I will make it.
Yeah.
If I can.
Right.
Right.
safety first, friend.
Yeah, well, and it's not like I have the kind of vehicle that I want out on an icy road.
Your management. We can't have you dying.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Listen, Triangle Energy is a born and raised in Texas company, and they care about giving you a good low electricity rate. They provide tools to help you decrease the amount of energy your home uses overall. They're trying to make your home more energy efficient, and that's what it's all about. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get a discount. And if you're in the CenterPoint territory, you can get the Smart Energy 36 plan locked in at 8.9 cents for 3 years. That includes an all-new Ecobee 4 thermostat with Alexa voice service, so you can ask your Ecobee to set a timer, read you the news, adjust the temperature, and so much more. Triangle Energy will also install it for free because they're nice guys. Call them 877-93-EAGLE or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com, PUCT number 10064. For our good friends at Tri Eagle Energy.
ESPN 97.5. She said, play. I've been waiting for this moment all my life. Follow me into the door. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN.
Hey, Fred, you can veto me if you love this song. Not this song. Earlier in the show, you played that 30 Seconds to Mars song that they kept playing over and over for the college football championship. Do you believe that you can win this fight? Yeah. Can we scratch that from our books? I'm against that song. What say you, Fred? Or do you really dig it?
No, I don't like that song at all.
Yeah, let's move on from that song.
We've had about three songs today that, frankly, were depressing me.
Yeah, I don't like that song. And maybe that song was okay a while ago. I'm done with it.
You heard too much.
I've heard it too much. Okay. I've heard too much of it. I can't handle any more.
Right. Well, you promised the people.
Yeah, I want to talk about this Aziz Ansari thing. All right. I'm going to tell you the story, the Cliff's Note version of the story. And you tell me if this is just something that happens regularly and it's not a crime or you tell me if this is somehow something worth humiliating and basically now any famous man who goes through this, his career is crippled.
That's why, you know what? That's why it was really interesting that Josh Pastner got out ahead of that thing last week. When those people were trying to basically making stuff up, because she had gotten a lawyer and was going to sue him for sexual assault that never happened, basically. So he countersued and got it out first.
Well,
so
good for him.
Yeah.
Now let me say this, because as you know, I've been on the side of the women in almost every one of these stories, and I think men as a whole just need to learn to behave themselves. I wrote a story last week about I wouldn't have Kendall Briles, who's been associated with this stuff. I wouldn't even have him on my campus. I don't care how good he is at coaching football. And let me also preface this by saying I'm not like an Aziz Ansari fan. I think he's okay. But Here's the deal. This woman, and in the story that they wrote, they call her Grace, I think, to protect her identity. She ran into Aziz at a party in L.A., and he kind of brushed her off. And then he saw that they had the same kind of old-fashioned camera, I guess. And they said, we got something in common here. So he gave her some attention and got her number. He texted her when they got back to New York and asked her if she wanted to go out. So she got excited. She got she picked out some outfit she thought was cute and told all her friends that she was going out with Aziz Ansari, and she was excited. They had a glass of wine at his apartment, And then they went to dinner at some fancy restaurant and then went back to his apartment. Apparently, like, almost as soon as they got back, consensually, he was giving her oral sex on the kitchen countertop.
Okay.
Which, first of all, if you're doing random hookups, let's we got to get back to where oral sex is something reserved for not one night stands. At least die on girl oral
right,
sex.
I don't
know.
Right, right.
Now, girls, you guys could do that on. I mean,
anytime.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no rules on that.
No, there shouldn't.
Guys,
be.
You guys need to hold out a little bit. So after he does that, he starts asking her to have sex. And he's, I mean, it's basically the, you know what, every guy in this situation, come on, baby, let's do it. You really want to do this. I really want you. Oh, you're so hot. Please let me have you. Eventually, she was so overcome by her emotions. She said, you guys are all the bleeping same, and ran out of the apartment crying. So,
oh, he called the car for her too.
Yeah, yeah. Like he did the nice guy thing. Here's what it boils down to. She had hopes that this would not just be a random hookup, that she would have a famous boyfriend.
And I think it won't. In the article, she says that she tells him, "Let's slow it down a little bit." They do slow it down. They get on the couch and they're talking, and then all of a sudden, she's giving him oral because she says that she didn't want to, but she gave into him anyway. And then it goes on, and they kind of do the same thing, and then they kind of slow it down again, and then she decides to leave.
But he did not drug her.
No.
He did not forcibly, he didn't force himself onto her.
He did not.
He did not kidnap her or keep her against her will. He basically said, you know, after a night of drinking and oral sex, hey, I'd like to have some sex here. She didn't want to. And I guess because she felt jilted that she was not getting the attention or affection or whatever she thought she was going to get from this situation with him. She wanted more than what he wanted to give her. He wanted to have a hookup. She wanted to have basically a second date with a famous person. He wasn't really interested in that. So, of course, she feels rejected. And apparently, if you're saying all you guys are the bleeping same, it ain't the first time she's felt this rejection or that someone wanted just to have sex with her and not be her boyfriend. That's not assault. That's a girl got her feelings hurt because she wanted more out of a relationship than a guy did. And every guy in the world has been in that position. Every guy in the world has been in a position where, you know, I'm not looking for a girlfriend here, but I'd like to hook up. And at that point, the girl has options. She could say, you know what? I'm all right with that. I'm down to hook up too. And in this day, you know, the Tinder world, that's become much more socially acceptable and much more frequent. Option B is, no, I'm not interested in this. I'm just going to get out of here. And the dude called her a car. I mean, like, that's a gentlemanly move. So he didn't play the game where if he basically said, listen, I'm not looking for a girlfriend. There's no point in us spending the night here cuddling and me waking up and making you breakfast. I'm not looking for that. So if you're not interested in keeping this going, let me just call you a car. That seems like the right thing to do, isn't it?
Yes.
How is this guy getting his name dragged through the mud when he did everything the right way? It's not fair. And I'm telling you, I'm like I said, I'm almost scared to be on the side of men in these situations because for the most part, it's the man's fault. But this was a consensual activity. The guy wanted to take it up to the next level. The girl didn't. So instead of being like, okay, well, we can just spend the night watching Netflix and cuddling on the couch, he's like, okay, well, let's just end the night here then. If it's not going to go any further, let me get you a ride home. She felt embarrassed. She felt rejected. So she decided, okay, I'm just going to crush this dude for it. Man, that's a slippery slope that we're going down if that's the case. That's a slippery-ass slope, and I'm against it. What do you think, John? You think he did anything wrong? Could he have done anything better?
See, now, I'm kind of a fan of his. His stand-up is very hit and miss. But that show, Masters of None, is, I mean, since he comes from an Asian background, so a lot of the stuff that he does on there, I can relate to. Like the parents and the culture and all that kind of thing. So I'm a big fan of that show. I loved him in Parks and Rec. I'm kind of on the side where you are, but I don't know if I'm saying,
you don't think you're unbiased when
I'm
you
not
say
unbiased
it.
Because I'm a fan of his.
Yeah. I could care less about his comedy. I've heard a little bit of it. I'm not blown away by him, but I mean, I don't think he sucks, but I feel like I'm very neutral on him. Like if someone asked me if I was a fan, I would say no. If someone asked if I dislike him, I would say no. He's just a nothing to me. He doesn't register for me. I don't think about him.
Yeah, and Murky does bring up the point that she gave him oral twice.
Yeah, like there's a progression.
I mean,
and when it got to the next step in the progression, she didn't want to do it, and it's basically it. She doesn't say this. And maybe this is me. This might be the misogynist in me. Maybe I'm saying that because she just wanted to be his girlfriend. She wanted to make something out of the night that wasn't there. And when he didn't want to do, when he didn't want that, she was like, oh, I'm out of here. That's what it sounds like to me. But that to me, he's not doing anything wrong there.
The part that kind of gets to me is like her response text where she said, you ignored clear nonverbal cues. Are we supposed to be Kreskin now? Seriously.
How about just, no, I don't want to have sex with you.
But oral's okay. All right. I'm good.
I mean, like, what was the nonverbal cue? Like, once you do that, like, once you willingly put your mouth there, like, I don't know what nonverbal cue you're giving me that this isn't going the way that he wanted it to go. I don't get that.
If that's the nonverbal cue, that particular act. Oh, man. And here's the other thing that I object to is if you're going to come out with a story where you're trying to assassinate somebody, use your own real name. Don't hide behind some fake name.
That's the other thing. Like, so some random girl who doesn't have to come out and say who she is has basically just ruined this guy's career because he didn't feel like having sex or he didn't feel like making her his girlfriend because he was looking for a hookup and she wanted more than just a one-night stand. So to me, parting amicably at that point is really about the best-case scenario. But he didn't do it the right way. And the fact is, had he done it the right way, had they spent the night cuddling on the couch and not having sex, and then he called her a cab the next morning, her expectations would have been that there would be a second date and they were going to start dating. He just cut off any possibility of that by saying, no, this isn't what I'm looking for. So if we're not interested in the same thing here, let's just say, hey, we've had fun exchanging oral sex and, you know, have a good night. By the way, I'll pay for your car ride home. Dude, he's coming to me. He's coming off like a gentleman. I don't know. It's a scary thing, man.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking, I don't know. I have some real problems with this.
And I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see if more accusations like this come out. And I think it's the same thing with the whole Stan Lee thing. Like with the Harvey Weinstein and everybody else, like what's his name? The one that came out last week. I forgot his name. But stuff like this, people in Hollywood have said that, you know, oh, we knew about this all along. But with Aziz Ansari and Stan Lee, I think we need to give it a couple of weeks or a month or so to see if more stuff comes out. Then we can kind of see a more clear picture rather than kind of going off on like one accusation. Oh, Franco.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, because people have said that James Franco, that's the type of guy that he is. He'll hit on like 17-year-old girls and stuff like that. So I think it's more well-known than Aziz Ansari.
I'm with you. And I don't know. The James Franco thing, like the fact that that girl took down the tweet and suddenly isn't talking about it. I don't know what to believe on that. So that's why I'm not going to take his side. I'm not going to take her side. I don't know. But in this case, I don't know if Aziz has even come out and said anything about it.
Oh, he did.
What did he say?
I got to look for it, but he did. We can address it when we come back.
But just based on this, like all I read was her account of the story, and I'm like, no, he's good. Yeah, he did the right thing here, and that's what's got me mixed up, because if I read the female side of the account, and I'm taking the dude's side without even hearing his side of the story, it makes me think this is going too crazy. It's out of control now.
Oh, I actually got it right here. So he came out with the statement to, he says, in September of last year, I met a woman at a party. We exchanged numbers. We texted back and forth and eventually went on a date. We went out to dinner and afterwards we ended up engaging in sexual activity, which by all indications was completely consensual. The next day I got a text from her saying that although it may have seemed okay, upon further reflection, she felt uncomfortable. It was true that everything did seem okay to me. So when I heard that it was not the case for her, I was surprised and concerned. I took her words to heart and responded privately after taking the time to process what she said. So that's what he said, according to CNN. And I think he blasted that out to a bunch of media outlets.
This is where we're at. So now, I mean, obviously, the reality in all these cases is if you're going to have sexual relations, you need explicit consent. But in this case, he got explicit consent. She regretted it the next day and was like, I didn't mean to do that. That didn't feel good. You can't, like, just because you have regrets about a hookup, a consensual hookup, you can't go back and, like, slander a dude over it.
Do we have to do Jeters now where we have to, like, get him to sign
a
waivers?
A non-consent?
Yeah.
Or, what's it called? Yeah, non-disclosure. That's what he needs. Yeah, Jeter has it figured out, man. He wouldn't let a chick bring a cell phone in, make her sign a contract. I like that. That guy's game was the best. But listen, Aziz Ansari, I mean, look at the guy. He's getting what he can get.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I really hope you're not playing that because of the subject of the last segment. I know you tend to do that. Real quickly, before we haven't talked about the Garrett Cole deal yet, but we need to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Are you familiar with the B&M Home Store?
No.
It's a budget chain, basically. Well, there's a job out there that I think the Blitzers might like. Chicken nugget connoisseur. In an online ad, the company claims it is looking to expand its frozen food range and needs people to help test out the new range. It simply involves eating the products and giving feedback to company bosses. There are 6 requirements, though, which are a little unusual. They're looking for someone who's done the following things: getting the 20 share box of McNuggets and keeping them all for yourself, being the first in the office kitchen whenever someone says there's cake, that time you tripped and fell at a buffet and saved the plate before yourself, going to an event or party because there's free food. You value the importance of a fish finger sandwich in life, and you can conduct a PowerPoint presentation on the reasoning behind curly fries being nicer than chips. Successful candidates will be given $25 vouchers every month to spend on fresh and frozen food in the store.
Nice.
So there you go. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, let's talk Gerrit Cole.
Well, the Astros got what they wanted. Again, I said I'd give up whatever the Pirates wanted. The Astros didn't. They got him anyway. Now, they paid a little bit more for him than they would have had they given up one of those prospects. But
just in terms of players, I don't think they gave up a damn thing, to be honest.
Not really.
I mean, Colin Moran's blocked. I mean, Bregman's going to be your third baseman, so even if he can play.
Future. Yeah.
And basically, Musgrove, I kind of like, but you're upgrading whoever replaces Musgrove in the bullpen.
Right.
It's going to be better.
Yeah.
And Cole's better than whoever he's replacing in the rotation. And you didn't have to give up Derek Fisher. You didn't have to give up Martez. And I was saying I'd be okay with giving up those two guys. And you didn't give up Whitley or Tucker. I think, you know, the other guy is basically, the minor league outfielder is basically a poor man's Jake Marisnyk. So they didn't give up a damn thing here.
Yeah.
I love the deal.
Yeah, it ends up working out for him. And I think that you've got there's no reason to think that the Astros aren't the favorites, at least the American League favorites, heading into this next season. They've got one of the best lineups. I think they've got the best rotation in the American League. I think that they're set up to be back. So I think it's a great move, and not only do you get did you get the deal without giving up a lot of players, you didn't go out and commit long term money to one of these guys like Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta that have question marks, and because they're the best available, you're still going to have to pay out the wazoo for them. But there's serious question marks. I mean, Jake Arrieta didn't have a good year last year.
No.
If this were 2 years ago, Jake Arrieta, someone throw the moon at him.
Yeah.
Same with Yu Darvish. But now it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to invest in that guy, invest number one starter money in him. So I think it worked out as well as possible for him.
Well, and I love that it's basically 2 years. It keeps the window with what you've got Verlander for and everybody else under contract. And then you can make a decision then. And, you know, if you wind up losing Keuchel, you're still going to be okay moving forward.
Yep.
So I just love this move. I think it's typical Luno getting a really nice asset without giving up much of anything, frankly. And you know what? Colin Moran may turn out to be a player, but he was never going to be a player here because there's just not room for him.
Agreed.
So see ya.
He's a guy they were probably looking to get rid of. But I also think when you're talking about Fisher and Tucker, like at least one of those guys is blocked, right?
Yeah, but I don't think Kyle Tucker's going to be ready for the bigs for a couple of years, and that's when you'll be making decisions on George Springer, people like that.
Right.
And for the guy who keeps texting me, it's Kyle Tucker we're talking about, not Preston Tucker. Kyle Tucker's our number one prospect.
Yeah.
Preston is in Atlanta now, so.
And he's really missed. Just kidding.
No one misses him. Not even. Yeah. All right. Got your boy Aubrey on the line.
Yeah, Aubrey Theodi from Dirt Free. What's going on, Aubrey?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How y'all doing?
We're doing sportsy, man. How's it going there?
Well, I mean, we're just busy cleaning up all the dirt and crime and all that good stuff. You know, everything that's dirty, we're cleaning at it.
That's the way to do it. What do you guys got going on these days?
Well, you know, sometimes people don't realize that power plant we clean with, it's a proprietary system. I mean, we invented, created, produced the finest cleaning system in the world, the giant van-powered machine, temporary pre-spot, super water, altered, softened, filtered, special water that we clean with allows us to cut out the soap chemical residues we just completely eliminate that. We come out to your home, start in the worst area. If you don't love us, you don't pay. So tile grout, leather drapes, upholstery, air ducts, wool rugs. Friends, dial 281-DIRT-FREE. Let us come into your home. Do the very best at the very worst area that's troubling you. If we can't get that right for you, there'll be no charge. But forever, for 30 years, even when the technology has evolved, we've only had this system like the last 8 years. So we evolved through the years to the system we have. We've always been ahead of the competition. Dial 281-DIRT-FREE. See if I'm telling the truth. 281-DIRT-FREE. 281-DIRT-FREE, dirtfreecarpet.com. Right now, by dialing 281-DIRT-FREE, making a purchase, you get a $100 free speed dry and a free room of carpet cleaning. 281-DIRT-FREE, the first 20 callers, two freebies with any purchase.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Billy Kennedy, Texas A&M coach, the show tonight at 7 p.m. Not a good week for the Aggies. I read that on A.J. Hoffman's college basketball recap this morning. But you can, too, on sportsmap.com.
Man, things were pretty promising for that squad early in the season. And since conference play has started, oh, boy.
Not so good.
It has been bad.
I don't understand why HISD has to send me a text saying that all schools are closed and then leave a voicemail that all schools
are
closed. Yeah, I don't know why they do that.
Not to mention, you don't even have, like, guardianship of a kid.
No.
Yeah, it's ultra unnecessary.
It's kind of a little creepy, actually. Do we have a dumbass report?
Yeah, we got a couple things here. Let's say you're at a restaurant, a pizza place, and...
I'm called Freddy's.
Okay, that's fine. Let's say you think that someone at... Your phone goes missing off your table, and you think that someone at the next table took it.
Okay.
What would you do? Would you start a fight?
I would ask, and then if I really thought they'd taken it, I'd go to the manager.
Okay. Well, this guy decided to crank it up. There's multiple groups yelling at each other, and eventually start throwing punches. Pepper spray was deployed at one point in the brawl.
Nice.
20 people fighting over this missing cell phone. What they didn't do was check the lost and found.
Oh.
Where the phone was the entire time.
That escalated quickly.
Oh.
So great. 20 people in a pizza place brawling. And it was in the lost and found the entire time.
That's awesome.
If you had just robbed a bank, where would be the last place you'd go to apply for a job?
Probably the same bank.
That's a good answer. What would be next on the list?
Probably not the police academy.
Ding, ding. A man suspected of robbing a bank was arrested Thursday during what he thought was an interview for a police dispatcher job. Alberto Saavedra Lopez had been sought since October of 2016 when Bank of America filed the report. Bank officials suspected Lopez, a former employee, stole about $5,000 from the bank. He moved to Phoenix and kept missing appointments with investigators and refusing to answer their phone calls. A warrant for his arrest was issued, but Lopez avoided contact with law enforcement officials for another year. In December, he applied for a job opening as a dispatcher with the Cottonwood Police Department. And, yeah, congratulations. You got yourself arrested. This is a crazy story. It's kind of sad, but it's because a kid died. A six-year-old Florida boy has died from rabies he contracted after being scratched by an infected bat. Mm. The father said that he found a sick bat, put it in a bucket, and told his son not to touch it. Which, if you find a sick bat...
Don't put it in a bucket. You just kill it.
Just kill it.
Yeah. You don't, because any sick bat, I read this somewhere, any bat that's on the ground probably has rabies and is dangerous.
Yeah. So kill it and either...
Burn the body.
Yeah, move it to a trash, do something, bury it, get it out of... Don't keep it around. Don't collect it in a bucket. Well, the kid, being six, decided to touch the bat.
It's a trap!
He was scratched. He said that he washed the wound thoroughly, but he didn't take his son to the hospital because when he told his son that he would have to get shots, his son cried. And he decided that, well, he's pretty upset about these whole shots thing, so I'm going to just, we'll just let him ride out these rabies.
Just let him die.
I mean, I did wash it really good. He probably used lava soap or, that the real?
Yeah. I don't think that fixes rabies.
Yeah, I don't think lava fixes rabies. A week later, the boy developed numb fingers and a headache, and his parents eventually took him to the hospital. And once the symptoms develop, rabies is almost always fatal. Yeah. And, of course, it was in this case. So, there you go. That is your dumbass report.
All right. On that note.
On that dumbass note.
Good job today, Jong Lee. Good job, AJ. Good job, sports, this weekend.
Thanks, sports.
And we may or may not talk to you tomorrow.
Maybe. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.